Thank you for the privilege and opportunity of being with you today. Let's look at Romans chapter 3, verses 24 through 26, the vindication of God's righteousness. You can find the study on abideinchrist.com, abideinchrist.com. Abideinchrist.com, go to Sermons and Bible Studies, and click on Romans chapter 3, verses 24 through 26, the vindication of God's righteousness. A very important question for serious Bible students is, how can God be just, holy, and righteous in character, and overlook or allow to pass over without notice the sins of the Old Testament saints? How could he intentionally overlook their sins? The Apostle Paul wrestles with this problem in Romans chapter 3, verse 25, when he refers to the Old Testament saints who, in the forbearance of God, he passed over the sins previously committed. Paul looks back to the Old Covenant and says God passed over the sins of the Old Testament times. God used self-restraint or tolerance as he looked down on sinful man. And since God is a just God, how could he wink at the sins committed before Christ came and still be a just and a righteous God? The Apostle Paul summarizes the whole Old Testament teaching on the holy and righteous character of God when he declared, "The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men." Romans chapter 1, verse 18. And in his grand indictment against all mankind in chapter 1, he concludes, "Those who practice such things are worthy of death." In verse 32. "And therefore you are without excuse. And we know that the judgment of God rightly falls upon those who practice such things." Chapter 2, verse 1. "The wages of sin is death." Chapter 6, verse 23. And the first three chapters sums up the righteous character of God and the fact that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God in Romans 3, 23. Paul reminds us of the Hebrew prophet Ezekiel, who wrote, "The soul that sins will surely die." Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 4. And he said, "The person who sins will die." In verse 20. "The wickedness of the wicked will be upon himself." Verse 20. "And for his iniquity which he has committed, he will die." Verse 26. "For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone who dies, declares the Lord. Therefore, repent and live." Ezekiel 18, verse 32. Obviously, sin is a serious business with God. The scriptures can be summarized as follows. God is holy, and he hates sin. He cannot look upon sin. Because God is righteous, he must punish all guilty sinners. Unless God can prove that he has punished all sin, he is no longer righteous. God poured out his wrath on all sin at Calvary. And God has punished all sin, and therefore he is just. The Old Testament sacrifices and offerings were never capable of producing a full forgiveness of sins. They did not expiate sin. And their sins were passed over, covered for the time being, and another sacrifice would be made for sin the next day. They could not radically deal with sin. And it's clear the blood of animals could not do this. All they did was point forward to the coming perfect sacrifice that would deal with sin, cleansing the consciousness of dead works and reconcile man to God. How could he remain righteous and true to himself? How could God pass over their sins? All of the Old Testament saints were in heaven on credit. Abraham, David, Isaac, Jacob, etc., were forgiven because they looked to Christ, the sacrifice he would make in time. They made their offerings by faith. They took God at his word that One day he was going to provide a perfect sacrifice for sin. They believed God. The thrust of Paul's argument in Romans chapter 3, verses 24 and 25 is it was their faith in Christ that saved them, exactly as it is faith in Christ that saves us now. The Apostle Paul's answer to the question of God's righteousness is clear. At the cross, God was publicly declaring his own inherent and essential righteous character and justice. Here he is not referring to the imputed righteousness he gives to believers, but his own personal glorious attributes. He is referring to his own essential moral, holy, just, and righteous character. God gave a public demonstration that he is still righteous, just, and holy, although he has declared all believing sinners just and righteous in his sight. How did he do it? God set forth Jesus Christ as the propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the passing over of sins formerly committed under the old covenant. Romans chapter 3, verses 24 and 25. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 15 teaches us the same thing. God explained himself and declared his holy character when on the cross his Son died as a sacrifice for all sin. Although God has in patience and forbearance held his judgment back in Old Testament times, he did not hold it back at the cross. He expressed all of his holy wrath against sin on Jesus Christ. The cross was a public declaration that God's righteousness was satisfied. He vindicated his own eternal character of righteousness and holiness at the cross. At the cross, God vindicated what he had been doing in the past as he overlooked sin under the old covenant. In verse 26, he answered how he would pass over those sins in the past. And the answer is still in the cross of Jesus Christ. Every sin was dealt with once and for all at the cross of Jesus Christ. At the cross, God declared his righteousness for having passed over sins in time past of self-restraint. He can declare his own righteousness then, now and forever, in the forgiveness of sins because God poured out his entire wrath on his Son, Jesus Christ. The wrath of God that should have come down upon all sinners in the old dispensation came down upon his Son, Jesus Christ, at the cross. And that same wrath that should come down upon you and me because of our sins fell on Jesus Christ in that same historical event at Calvary. Jesus Christ is the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world because God knew that he was going to execute judgment against all sin in due time. He could put off that judgment until the right time. Therefore, God can remain just and deal with sins as he says he's going to do so and still justify the believing sinner. This is the demonstration, I say, of his righteousness at the present time that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Romans chapter 3, verse 26. This is how he could pass over and put off to another day judgment against sins in the past. How does he deal with our sins now? How does he deal with our sins in the future? The answer is still the same, the cross of Jesus Christ. Christ is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. All sin was dealt with once and for all on the cross of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus covers every sin of those who believe, past, present, and future. Christ has dealt with all sins in his own death. It was done once and forever. God laid all sins on the back of Jesus Christ, your sins and my sins. And the sins you and I have not yet committed were laid on him there. Christ in his death for sin has already dealt with the sins you have not yet committed. And this is the only way whereby God can deal with our sins and be a just God. God can forgive us of our sins because Jesus Christ went to the cross and died for those sins. And this is the only justification of God for forgiving all sins whenever committed. All sins are forgiven on these grounds alone. And therefore, God can be just and a justifier, the one who has faith in Jesus, in Romans chapter 3, verse 26. The cross is not just a declaration of God's love. It's also the declaration that he is a just and a holy God. He is true to his holy character. And at the cross, God was declaring that he is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. His love must be kept in perfect balance with his righteousness. And the cross is the vindication of God's righteous character. God can remain holy and just because he has punished sins and sinners in his own pure and holy Son. God poured out his wrath upon Christ. The prophet Isaiah said, he bore our chastisement, and by his stripes we are healed. God punished sin, and was therefore true to himself. He kept his integrity. Sinners are declared righteous freely by God's grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation through faith in his blood. Therefore, God can declare his righteousness for having passed over those sins in past time of self-restraint. God is righteous in forgiving sin, past, present, and future. Is the Apostle Paul teaching universalism? Does that mean everyone is automatically saved because Christ has already paid for their sins? No, it means the provision has been made in God's grace by Christ's death to forgive for only those individuals who personally believe on Jesus Christ to save them will receive the forgiveness and salvation. He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. John chapter 3, verse 36. Have you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ to save you from the wrath of God? Are you enjoying his perfect peace and assurance that all of your sins have been covered by the death of Jesus Christ? There are little islands of peace all over the world. I'm referring to men and women who have peace with God. The key to Romans chapter 5 is the word rejoice. The person who has been justified by faith in Jesus Christ can rejoice because of the results of believing on Christ. And this is obvious from the opening word in chapter 5. Therefore, based upon everything we've said in Romans chapters 3 and 4, we have perfect peace with God. Because of our new relationship with God, we can rejoice in our spiritual provision because Christ went to the cross and died for all of our sins on the cross. Because God has vindicated his righteousness, we can rejoice in our complete assurance in what Christ has accomplished for us. We have a new spiritual position before the Lord God based upon the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We've been justified by faith in Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul restates the great truth of Romans chapters 3 and 4 by saying, therefore, having been justified by faith, Romans chapter 5, verse 1. The Bible makes it very clear that we have sinned. we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God, that we're still sinners, and there is no denying the fact unless we are completely naive and self-deceived. We know from personal experience we have failed God. And when the Bible speaks of justification, it means to declare righteous. And when a convicted sinner puts his faith and trust in the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross for his sins, a righteous God declares righteous the believing sinner. God the Father sees our faith in his Son and forgives our sins against him. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us of every sin. We now have a new relationship with the Holy God. We are justified by faith in what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. And since the Father is satisfied with his Son, he's also satisfied with those who believe in his Son's death and resurrection. God sees our faith and declares us right with God. Pardoned, forgiven, acquitted. It is a once and for all act of God whereby he declares us righteous or right in his sight. And keep in mind Paul's declaration on justification in Romans. Romans chapter 3 verse 28 tells us, but we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. He sums up his illustration from the life of Abraham. He says, for our sake also, to whom it will be credited, as those who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, he who was delivered over because of our transgressions and was raised because of our justification. Now how can Paul make such a declaration? It's based upon the death of Jesus Christ for our sins. Romans chapter 5, verses 8 through 10 tells us, but God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, and much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Paul makes the greatest statement of salvation by grace through faith as opposed to a salvation by works. And he writes, a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus, and so that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, since by the works of the law no flesh will be justified. Now how do we become a child of God? Galatians chapter 3 verse 26 answers, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Here's Paul's formula for evaluating the basis of our assurance of salvation. Galatians 6:15 says, and neither is circumcision anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And for him it was not a matter of being a member of the Jewish nation or having the sign of the covenant. The crucial need was a spiritual birth, being born spiritually. And for us today, it's not our good works, our baptism, our church membership, our taking communion. Our eternal life depends upon our relationship to Jesus Christ. Am I a new creation? Have I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone for a right relationship with God? You fill in the blanks. For neither is blank anything, nor blank a new creation. What are you depending upon for a right relationship with the Lord God? My friend, only Jesus Christ would do. Justification is illustrated by the Apostle Paul. He says, justified in faith, were explained and illustrated in the life of Abraham. He was declared to be God's friend. Abraham entered into a close relationship with God when he believed God would do what he had promised. And this intimate, loved relationship with God was given as a gift. There was no merit involved. There was no virtue involved. It was by faith alone, believing that God would do as he had promised. Justification is a legal declaration by God the Father pronouncing the lost sinner acquitted because he has put his faith in the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ to save him. In the moment you believe, God declared you just in his eyes. And some other things happen also the moment we put our faith in Christ. Romans chapter 5 verse 1 tells us that we have peace with God. And since we have been justified by faith, the first result, Paul says, is we have peace with God. If you have really believed on Jesus Christ, you will have peace with God. And if you are justified, you're a member of his family. There is no longer any hostility between you and God. You are at peace with him. We are no longer held in fear of God. We don't have to worry about dying and facing God. The prospect of death does not hold a dreadful fear or terror over us because we know we have peace with God. And because we're justified, we have lost our fear of God. We are now have an intimate love relationship with him, and Christ has resolved our most basic fears in life. Perfect love casts out all fear. It's now a loving relationship with God because we have been reconciled to him. And therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Why do Christians have this deep inner peace with God? Because we have been declared righteous by faith in Christ. The implication of this for the Christian life is extensive. We ought not to wait around thinking about the Almighty is sitting on his throne just waiting to pounce on us. The great truth is, the gospel is that at this very moment, we were completely forgiven. Moreover, because of that forgiveness, we now have peace with God. A peace that can never be taken away. And furthermore, as Paul goes on to declare in Romans chapters 5 through 8, because we have this peace with God, we now can grow in grace. In other words, we have been completely forgiven. We now have the potential to be changed into the likeness of his Son. It is impossible to think of justification without sanctification. Paul is not saying that at the moment we trust in Christ as our Savior, we were completely changed, made sinless. We still sin, even though we struggle not to. We're sinners, but we are sinners saved by grace in Jesus Christ. Now, how can God give us this forgiveness and peace with him? It's through our Lord Jesus Christ. The foundation is the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ on our behalf. And so the Apostle Paul declared, "For while we were still helpless at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly." And for one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. Christ died for us, not because we were Jewish or not Jewish or good and righteous, Baptist or Catholic or whatever, but because we were plain old sinners. The lost condition of mankind demands that Christ go to the cross and die in our place. What can you do when you lose that sense of peace, that sense of fellowship with the Lord God, the way back on track is not by working on your feelings. It's not by being saved a second time. Open your Bible and review your justification. Go back over the facts from God's Word. Remind yourself of what God has declared about you. God is able to perform what He has promised. Satan will always accuse you and try to destroy your peace with God. Talk to yourself. Remind yourself of this great positional truth in God's Word. My acceptance with God does not depend upon me. It depends upon Jesus Christ. My sin does not cancel out my justification. God has dealt with all of my sins in Christ's death and resurrection. Jesus died for me on that cross. I rest upon that great fact. God has reckoned or imputed His righteousness to me because I believed on Him. I believed in His death for my sins and the work of Jesus Christ. God has acquitted me. The Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Reckon upon God's promise and the fellowship will be restored. Reckon upon the truths of God's Word, that your salvation depends upon Jesus Christ and Him alone. And that experience of peace will be restored as you trust in Him. Romans chapter 6, verse 11 reminds us to reckon on Christ's death. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. We have no merit in ourselves before God. No matter how long we're Christians or how long we have served Him, we can only stand on the work of our Lord Jesus Christ on our behalf. We never deserve it or merit it. It's His gift to us. In fact, the longer you walk with Christ, the more you comprehend this great truth from His Word. Don't let your conduct or behavior disturb your peace with God. The smallest sin destroys our fellowship with Him. The intimate fellowship is broken when we sin. You don't lose your salvation. You lose your fellowship with Him. You do not lose your eternal position in Christ. You lose the joy of fellowship with Him. How do you restore that fellowship? God has provided us a bar of soap, and He wants us to use it daily. 1 John chapter 1, verses 9 and 10 tells us, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Keep short agendas with God. Deal with sin daily. Deal with it the moment you sin. Deal with it the moment the Holy Spirit brings conviction to your heart. Don't let sinful behavior, thoughts, or attitudes rob you of that sense of peace and fellowship with God. Cultivate that sense of peace. Unconfessed sin, unrepented sinful behavior, bad attitudes will rob you of experiencing peace with God. Keep your heart tender toward God, and you'll experience His deep peace. We rejoice because we have complete assurance in what God has done for us in the person of Jesus Christ. We can rejoice because we have continued access to the abounding grace of God. We can rejoice because we have confident anticipation of the hope that is ours in the glory of God in Jesus Christ. We can rejoice because we can celebrate victory over the adversity. We can rejoice in Him because we have an abounding sense of God's love. We can rejoice in Him because we have the assurance of eternal life, because we'll put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. There's no other hope. is found only in what Jesus Christ did for you on that cross when he died for all of your sins and rose from the dead. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. May the Lord's richest blessings be yours today.